Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on a Tuesday. The Tuesday after the CFL makes their major announcement yesterday on the rule changes. And I just want to say one thing off the hop. I am just so happy that everybody was very reasonable about the changes to the Canadian Football League yesterday.
Okay, I know you're joking, but I will say this. Were you surprised that it wasn't more vitriol? Like, there wasn't more animosity towards it? Because I was expecting...
See, I think people slept on it, and I think they woke up angrier today than they were yesterday. Because absorbed it and went... And then they woke up and was like, no, this is wrong. What are we doing? 55-yard line, getting rid of the Rouge, moving the field goal both back, shortening the end zones, going to 100 yards. What the heck is going on here? Who the heck's Stuart Johnston anyways? And this league's just going to go to four downs in 5 years. And screw this, I'm handing in my season tickets. That's how I feel the reaction is starting to go to after everybody slept on it. I feel there is more anger today than there was yesterday.
Really?
Now that people had the time to absorb it all and go, no, I am upset about this. This isn't the way I want the CFL to be played moving forward. But
I think you need new friends.
These are aesthetics. The wide field, the motion, three downs, all of that. When you, on 2027, when you sit down and watch the game, there will be idiosyncrasies, as the commissioner stated yesterday, that will be different. But do we know if it's for the better or not? No, we do not. But this is a professional league who wants change. And they've now made change.
Yes.
So are you a fan of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Edmonton Elks and the Calgary Stampeders and want to cheer for your team, or do you want to cheer for a Rouge and a 55-yard line? What were you going to games for? Really? Because I know what I'm going for, the community experience and to be entertained. I was not going to CFL games to watch the ball be placed at the 55-yard line and for a team to get a point after a missed field goal. That is not why I was going to CFL games. I was going because it is something I grew up with.
Yeah.
It is something that matters to me, and the Rough Riders matter, and the Bombers matter, and the Elks matter. That's what matters. But
cut that Bombers matter out, Scotty, and send that to Winnipeg.
Well, yeah, it matters that we have a team to play every Labor Day to beat. That matters. But I was asked this morning by Greg Morgan and a couple other shows, is there one line that this league cannot cross? And it's three downs. That's the one. And if they make this field slimmer, that'll tick me off too.
I think that would have more impact.
Because then you have to go to 11 players. You're just going to have to.
I think that would have more impact on the game than going from 110 to 100 yards. The one thing that I will say, and I'm a fan of the changes that they just made. I will say that. I can't see any reason why what was announced yesterday by Stuart Johnston, with the exception of the 35-second clock, which I think they need to work on, I can't see why it doesn't make the game better. And I can't see why somebody would be upset about those changes outside of the fact. And if this is your thought process on it, I think you have some legitimate concerns. And that being that this might be the beginning of more changes and a more Americanized day, a more American version of the CFL. And I think there are legitimate concerns from fans of the CFL, new and old, that that might be coming down the pipe, because it does look a lot more like the American game. You can spin it all you want. It just does. And they're not going to step up to a podium and go, we made the changes we made to fit
soften
more.
The blow when in 10 years we go to the National Football League.
They're not going to do that, but I think fans legitimately have a reason to be concerned.
They do have a reason to be concerned. I'm not saying they don't have a reason to be concerned.
I'm not saying you're wrong, Jamie. I'm saying that the fans that are upset, I think, should be upset from that perspective, that potentially could be what's coming down the pipe, even though, and Stuart Johnston didn't say, I'm never going to change these rules as long as I'm here. He said, no, I can't guarantee those changes will never happen. That, I think, was a bit of a red flag. Now, the other thing
is, because Stuart Johnston really has no control over this. It's up to the 9 board of governors.
Yes.
That's it. Those are the people in control. If they want to go to 4 downs and they can go to the commissioner and say, we all want to go to 4 downs. We all had a meeting and the commissioner says, I don't want to be any part of that. Guess what they do? They find a new commissioner.
Yeah.
What do you think happened to Randy Ambrosi? We want to do this. I'm not sure this is a good idea. Okay. Can we get a new guy in who's going to do what we want? Stu, you want to do that? Okay, Stu, come on in. Let's make the changes we want because Stuart's on our side.
You nailed it.
Don't blame Stuart Johnston. He's the front man for the owners like every other commissioner is. He's hired to take the bullets as he did yesterday. If you want to blame anybody for the rule changes, contact the 9 board of governors. They are the presidents and the CEOs around the Canadian Football League.
But that's why they have that guy in that seat. But I'm just saying, I think there's one more legitimate concern, and we're going to be talking to the head coach of the Regina Thunder about it. And I think there are legitimate concerns about the impact to youth sports and youth sports in the country. They have legitimate concerns, and I think that group should be more upset than season ticket holders of a CFL franchise,
Indeed. In
my opinion.
Indeed. But there are other sports headlines going on.
There is?
Have you read the news?
Let's go!
The Riders are back to work. Day one of practice after their bye week, getting ready for the Edmonton Elks on Saturday. But what do they think about the rule changes?
Maybe a bit of an overreaction yesterday by some people. But, I mean, shoot, it's still 3 downs. There's still 12 people on the field. Field's still 65 yards wide. The end zone's still bigger than 10 yards.
Yeah, that was Trevor Harris. Said pretty well, calm down, everybody. The Riders, plenty of reaction coming later on with Britton Gray from what the Riders had to say. Meanwhile, Sam Emilis was back with the first team offense, as it looks like he will be back for the starting group for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Any word on number 26 yet?
No, he was not there today.
Tavon
okay. Campbell was not out there today.
Zach Collaris is practicing again.
Pressure coming at Collaris. They got him. Ball's out. Riders have it. And Collaris is down.
That was a C.J. Revis hit that knocked him out of the game. The Bombers host the Ticats on Saturday afternoon. Winnipeg is 7-7 on the season. The Ticats are 9-5. We'll keep an eye on the Zach Collaris situation for that game on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Looks like he might start. And Davis Alexander was practicing for the Alouettes today as well. Monday night football didn't go well for Derrick Henry and the Ravens.
This drive starts at the 21, down by 4. Hand off to Henry, and he gets it punched out. It's recovered by DJ Reed.
Yeah, the second time this season Henry has fumbled late in the game. Lions win 38-30 over the Baltimore Ravens, who fall to 1-2. The Detroit Lions are up to a 2-1 record.
All right. And in the NFL, a new starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
On a 2nd-and-8. Dulcich, touchdown Giants.
Okay. That's Russell Wilson is out.
Yes.
He's 3 games into the season, 3 interceptions, 3 touchdowns in only 3 games. So Jackson Dart, the fans have been calling for the rookie who was picked number 25 in the first round of last year's draft. So he's getting thrown to the Lions as well. The first game is the undefeated Chargers Sunday in New York. Dart, though, come on. Come on.
Darts with Jackson Dart.
The perfect name for a quarterback. Poor kid. He's going to get lit up on Sunday.
Well, can't be any worse than Russell Wilson. Meanwhile, I imagine baseball fans are turning in their season tickets because they're also making rule changes in Major League Baseball.
On an 0-2.
Oh!
It's just outside, and a challenge coming here. They're getting used to this.
This is a pitcher challenge.
He may have gotten it. And that will end the inning. Everybody with a smile.
Yes. Challenges for balls and strikes coming to Major League Baseball starting in 2026. Each team will have two challenges for balls and strikes. Only can be initiated by the pitcher, catcher, and batter. And they have to initiate that call immediately. They have to tap the top of their head.
Nobody else can. Managers can't.
The mitt pops, pop. And then they have to go challenge. They can't look over it real quick at the dugout and say, do I challenge? Nope, it's got to be immediate if they don't like the call. Two a game. So they're going to have to be smart about it. But there you go. Meanwhile, the Toronto Blue Jays, magic number is 4 to secure the AL East. They start a set against the Boston Red Sox tonight. Okay, have you had some time to sleep on it? Have you? CFL fans? Are you doing okay with some of the rule changes coming in 2026 and 2027? We'll talk more about that throughout the Green Zone, including Scott McAuley, the head coach of the Regina Thunder. He is very worried and legit concern over the impact this will have on the youth that play the Canadian football rules with the Thunder and the Hilltops and the Rams, the Huskies, high school football, etc. Plus, coming up on the Green Zone, Britton Gray will swing in, and we're going to take you to jolly old England. Gabby Senf's going to join us from London ahead of the World Cup final. Yes, she is Saskatchewan's lone member of the Canadian women's rugby team. On Sunday, we'll take on the host England for world supremacy in rugby. She'll be joining us a little bit later on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Tuesday after the CFL makes major rule changes. The Rough Riders back at work today. Everybody's getting reaction from around the Canadian Football League. Of course, nobody's quite stepped out as far as Nathan Rourke, who called them garbage, and he was pissed off about the rule changes. Davis Alexander commented today, quarterback of the Alouettes, saying that was the Canadian in him, referring to Nathan Rourke. Nick Arbuckle echoed Trevor Harris's comments, saying, we're employees. Employees don't really get a say when the bosses make changes, so we'll play whatever game is put in front of us and enjoy that we do get an opportunity to play Canadian football. Here's what the head coach of the Rough Riders, Corey Mace, had to say on the rule changes.
Having a chance to really go through it, you know, I was sitting there like everybody looking to see what it was going to be. And, you know, I know a lot of people went into those decisions, and, you know, I'm sure they consulted some people that were around the game for a long time. So, you know, doing their analysis of what all the things that they're expecting from it, you know, can only be good for the league. So, you know, for us as coaches and, you know, trying to adapt and conquer of whatever that looks like. But, you know, still going to be same team, still going to be CFL ball. And it should be an exciting product. So I'm curious to see it like everybody else, but I'm for it.
And if you get a minute today, Jamie and I wrote an article about the said changes, and you can find it on CJME and CKOM.com with a breakdown of everything that happened and then his thoughts and opinions on it.
I limited myself. I could have wrote a 5,000-piece university
We'll settle in. It was a little longer than it needed to be, but yeah, it was, doesn't mean it isn't worth reading.
It touched on 1,000 words once I looked and went, ooh, I better slow down here. There's still a lot to be said about the CFL rule changes.
I was actually surprised.
Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone. Britton Gray will be in, our Green Zone Rider reporter, on the Riders' reaction to the rule changes announced yesterday from Commissioner Stuart Johnston of the Canadian Football League. But there are many impacts beyond just the CFL the fans, the season ticket holders, the players? What about U Sports? What about junior football? What about high school football? What about RMF, SMF in the minor football programs, women's tackle football around Canada? What about them when it comes to a lot of shared facilities? And Scott McAuley's the head coach of the Regina Thunder here on the Green Zone. Scott, thanks for taking the time this afternoon. Yesterday, I know, very passionate about these changes. After sleeping on it, what are you thinking today, Scott, on the impact the Canadian Football League might have on your game?
I think probably just as passionate, if not more, today. I'm not so worried about, like, the rule changes and stuff. I mean, it is what it is, and you just adapt. But to me, it's just the changing of the, like, the infrastructure of the field, you know, like the moving up the goalposts and taking out 10 yards from the middle of the field and taking 5 yards out of the end zone. Next thing you know, fields are 20 yards shorter. You know, for us, you know, it changes kind of the way that you do your strategies throughout the game, you know. And I think for us, you know, the consistency of being able to play at one place, say Libel Field, and then going to Mosaic Stadium, it changes, right? You know, we're kind of in that situation. Like, Libel Field was built and developed by the Regina Minor Football Board of Directors, led by Len Antonini, and then that's their facility, and we're very lucky that they allow us the opportunity to play there. It's a privilege, and we love playing there. There's nowhere else we'd rather play than at Libel Field. But the thing is, for us also, we're a nonprofit organization, and so, you know, one game a year for sure, you know, we have to go to, we would like to go to Mosaic Stadium, and that allows us to get another, you know, 2,000 people inside the gates. And that's revenue money that allows us to turn on the lights. And all of a sudden, if you're not at Mosaic Stadium because it's a different game, you know, you want to keep things consistent. If you're trying to be as professional as you can as an amateur league, you know, you're not going to want to change the dimensions of the game. So it's going to affect us financially for sure, 100%. We'll see what happens.
Has anybody done any rough math, Scott, on what it would take to adapt these fields that U Sports and youth sports play in to match up more to the CFL game, if that was something that was going to be an option?
Yeah, no, like, great question. I was actually thinking about that earlier today. I'm like, someone for sure is going to ask this at some point, but like, I don't know. But like, a guy like Len Antonini would have a good idea of like what that costs. But I think the bottom line is, like, you know, it costs money to change it. And, you know, to move the field goal post. And also, like, I know, like, for example, when they put in the field turf at Libel Field or all field turf places, they'll have like a sort of like this cement base, like going away or all the way around. And then they put in like rock and stuff to help with the filtration of the water and things like that. So that's going to be affected. You take away 20 yards, like, it's different. They're going to have to change the where the cement's poured so they can make sure the filter's tied down. And then also the moving of the field goal post. Like, sure, it's going to be a one-time payment, but depends on how much work it actually really is going to be. Is it going to be, I would assume, a couple $100,000 for sure, if not towards like $1 million, if you're depending on how much work you have to do, right? So there is a cost there. And that's what I was kind of thinking about too. Like, I'm not part of the Regina Minor Football Board of Directors, or I've, you know, I try to help them out as much as I can, volunteering at camps and stuff, but that's all I have. I don't speak on their behalf. But they're the ones that built that facility. That's their facility. And, you know, we've been lucky where they allow us to play there on a Sunday, and they'll move their games from Libel Field to Mosaic Stadium to allow us to play there. So if Mosaic Stadium has a different field and setup than what they have, you know, are they going to still continue to go to Mosaic Stadium? I would assume not. They're going to want to play inside their own four walls, right? Which they should. And now what happens, you know, like teams, high school teams on a Thursday, Friday nights, you know, like there's games happening at Mosaic Stadium at the same time it's happening at Libel Field. If Libel Field doesn't make the adjustments that they'd make at Mosaic Stadium, or if Mosaic Stadium isn't able to revert back, you know, you're a high school coach in 1 week, you're gambling at the 40-yard line or whatever, try to get down to the 15, which is exciting. But then the next week you're sitting there with field goal posts and things are different. And it just changes. It doesn't keep the game consistent. And even like for us, like we struggled this weekend with the within 3 minutes and a 20-second clock. I think there's like 27 seconds left. One timeout. To me, these are exciting times. You have to be very strategic of what you call and things like that. And now it's going to be a lot different games. So we'll see how she goes.
Scott McCauley joining us, head coach of the Regina Thunder. I know this is way too soon, but I don't know if Murad or anybody, like, they're going to have to redo the field at Mosaic Stadium. The lines are stitched in. They're going to have to redo that field. I imagine, I would hope that they would put a field currently in place that is the right now facility and then not stitch the lines in so everybody can share that facility at Mosaic Stadium. Because if I remember correctly, Scott, and I know you're also a taxpayer in the city, I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be a multi-purpose facility at Mosaic Stadium. I'm pretty sure that was kind of the main purpose of putting $280 million into that thing.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, the Riders got 9 games. Obviously, they practice there. But, you know, even for us, sometimes with the snow and the rain, we're trying to book Mosaic Stadium. You can't even get in there because there's RMF teams that have booked it for their practices. And it's definitely a facility that's used by a lot of different people. And I think that, you know, if things change there and you're not able to adapt to other places, you know, it's going to change the dynamic of things.
So do you think that will be the solution, or you're hoping that's the solution, is they'll paint the lines now at Mosaic instead of stitch them in?
I mean, I haven't got that far. Like, somebody else, they got to figure it out. Like, the people are real, the city of Regina, you know, the Riders, I'm sure they're all going to put their heads together and figure out what they can do. Maybe they'll pitch money towards fixing, you know, making Libel Field the same as Mosaic Stadium. But, you know, I kind of sit there and think about it as well. Like, if you're the Regina Minor Football, like the RMF, like, your teams play against each other within your own league. Like, do you want to make any changes? You can use the money that you would use towards changes to the field to provide, say, better equipment or other things, right?
Yeah.
And the teams are only playing each other in that league. So whatever rule book you decide to go with, it doesn't matter. But then it's the other user groups probably outside of that. Like, I go back to high school. 1 week you're at Mosaic Stadium, the next week you're at Libel Field. That's where things are going to change a little bit. So you think people would put their heads together and try to figure out what's best, but it'd be interesting. Normally, whatever the top dogs do, it trickles down, right? Everybody else just adapts to it, and you got to figure it out. So we'll see what happens with that.
Scott, let's put you in that chair. If, and this is the interesting thing about the conversation right now, if you remove the impact that it's going to have on leagues outside of the CFL, there is a growing number of fans that are of the belief that this game needs to change, needs to adapt, or it's going to die. What would you do if you were in Stewart's position?
So, I mean, like, I haven't dove into, like, completely and thought about everything, but, like, I'm a little bit of a traditionalist, so, like, I don't see, like, anything wrong with our rules. Everyone's going to be like, oh, the teams aren't making money. Well, look at marketing. Look at the cost of things. It's very expensive to take your family to games these days. Like, I just did that a couple of weeks ago. It was, like, shocking. But anyways, you know, like, what I would look at is, like, what kind of rules can you make without changing the infrastructure? So you want to change up the clock and all that stuff? No problem. Doesn't change the way that the field's sort of, like, dressed up, right? Maybe you want to put the field goal post. This would be an extreme. Like, maybe you want to move them to the back of the end zone. I've never ever seen anybody really run into it except for one time. But you want to move those to the back of the end zone. Okay, well, like, keeping the 20-yard end zones and the 50, you know, the 55-yard line, like, to me, like, that's not changing the environments outside of that, right? But definitely, like, the rules that they got in place, you know, that don't affect, like, the setup of the field, to me, like, I think that's where you got to start and then see how that goes, and then from there adjust, right?
Slower process than just, let's just rip the Band-Aid off.
I think if you want to rip off the Band-Aid, rip it off. Like, let's go. You want to be more Americanized? Do it. Just do it. So then it's done. I'm just saying, don't change the field logistics up and just maybe change the rules and adapt the rules a little bit more.
Scott McCauley joining us, head coach of the Regina Thunder. But before we let you go, let's move that aside. There will be 55 yards. There will be 20-yard end zones. The field goal post will be at the front of the end zone on Saturday against the Hilltops. Grudge match, Scott. How ready are the young men of the Thunder to head up to Saskatoon and pay one back for what happened in Regina a few weeks ago?
I think the boys are getting ready. We just got back from Winnipeg late Sunday night, and we did a rundown yesterday, and everybody seems focused. I mean, at the beginning of the week, you're just trying to get guys back up and moving around. They're beat up, they're sore, they're tired. You're going to that week 7 of the season. That's just kind of like what happens normally at this time. So, you know, like last night we did a run through, we started going through some film and get the game plans, and tonight they got off and we're doing a bunch of rehab. So I think by tomorrow night, you know, that excitement and that focus will kind of come together and our guys will be ready to rock and roll come Saturday night in Saskatoon.
Scott, I was taking a look at the standings and the scores, and the Thunder and the Hilltops, with the odd exception, both at the top of the standings, but also scoring a tremendous amount of points, unless, of course, you're playing each other. Should we expect a low-scoring game or a high-scoring game on the weekend?
Good question. I remember, like, before the Hilltop game, I ran to Kim Woodruff, general manager for the Hilltops now, but I used to work with him a little bit with Football Saskatchewan, and he's like, he was kind of predicting like the score. I think it was like, it's going to be a bit of a like a low scoring game, and it's going to be like 15-14 or maybe 22-21. And I'm like, man, this guy's on drugs. Like, it's going to be, we're going to both be scoring a lot of points. I was wrong. He was right. So I'm probably going to ask him, what do you think is going to happen? But yeah, it's going to be a defensive battle. It always is. But the thing is, like, we're moving the ball a little bit better now. We were pretty one-dimensional at the start. We're in the ball now. We're passing the ball and stuff as well. So I think that's going to open a lot of things. And then also they got three guys in the backfield there, running back, that can score from anywhere on the field. Like, they got a scary threesome back there that can make things happen. So I think there'll be a little bit of a higher scorer game than it was the first time we played them. And I think you're going to see a lot more offensive plays and moving the ball up and down the field.
And what's it? The wiener dog races in the
yeah, you
final
guys
home
are in
game?
The hunt for wiener dogs.
What are we really? I'm fascinated that you're going with dachshund races for the Regina Thunder.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Leave that up to Murad and everybody else with the Regina Thunder.
Yeah,
right on. Understand.
Way to go with the halftime stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be the Wildcats.
Care about the
I didn't think he would. He's got a lot bigger things to, like the Hilltops.
I'm pretty up to be with it, or up to date with everything, but you know, I've been kind of focused on different things right now. I'll have to find out about this wiener dog race. Right? Seems like a Cali Rempel, the Silver Fox. Sort of one of his crazy ideas.
You are bang on. That is a Kelly Rempel idea. 100%. That is accurate. I didn't even think of that one.
Oh, my goodness. That pause was just awesome.
Scott, best of luck.
What are you guys talking about?
Safe travels up the road to Saskatoon. I know it's going to be a dandy at SMF on Saturday night.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, Scott.
That is Scott McCauley, head coach of the Regina Thunder. Of course, they'll be getting ready over at Scotty Livingstone Field over the next few nights until that road trip to Saskatoon. Best two teams in the league, PFC. Is it a championship preview? Usually it is.
Yep.
And the grudge match from the 18-15 game from September the 6th. Coming up next on this day in sports history, it might be the most impactful injury in the history of the National Football League, and it happened on this day. How many years ago was that? 24 years ago? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, the NFL changed forever. September 23rd, 2001. Thanks, Mo Lewis.
So third down and 10 now. Big play for the Patriots. Bledsoe. Gonna run it. Needs 10 yards. Oh, does he hit? Oh, my.
And oh, look at Drew.
Yeah, is he, this is more critical than the first down to the Patriots, hope.
Drew Bledsoe gets popped by Mo Lewis, leaves the game, and on walks some dude named Tom Brady. And the rest, as they say, is history, as he didn't give the job up again and won just how many? Seven Super Bowls? And turned into the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. And it started on this day when Drew Bledsoe got hit by Mo Lewis.